this year, guys. Yes. All right, so welcome back to Go Ham. We're really excited today. We have one of our own in-house. This is Aubrey.
Hi.
All right, so to preface this conversation, we brought Aubrey on because she has a lot of experience in a lot of different avenues in our industry. Specifically, she's worked on both East Coast and West Coast and has experience in commission salons, booth running salons, and even working in a suite environment. So we thought it would be very valuable to bring her on and just let her talk through her experiences in all of these avenues. So let's get started. Aubrey, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Welcome.
Thank you so much for being on here.
Thanks for having me. Yeah.
So talk us through. I think it's good. Let's start by just providing the audience with a little bit of insight on where you're at and how you got here. So let's go back to Aubrey going to cosmetology school.
All right. So I worked at a few salons in high school, did like a school to work thing. I actually at that point thought I wanted to do makeup. So didn't really know what I wanted to do. Went to cosmetology school. And then I started at Privé like a month after graduating.
Oh, I can remember our interview. Mm-hmm. And you were one of those. I loved your look. Not that I hire specifically for look, but like you showed up, you were like bubbly, you had this like blonde hair, you seemed so excited to be in the industry, and like you just, you got me. Like it was like one of those interviews where halfway through I was like, I'm just going to offer her the job right now.
She also was one of our employees that you came to me very early on and were like, wait till you see what she does. She's going to be incredible.
Yeah, I knew it. So, okay, so you came to Privé. You started your career with us.
Yeah.
Talk us through that portion.
You
ended up being a personal pretty quickly.
Yeah. I think like 6 months in, I was personal to Zoe.
Yes.
And then I also personaled with you.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. How did you know? I have a question for you. How did you know in cosmetology school that you wanted to take the shift from makeup and focus more on hair? Well, although you do makeup, but still.
I don't do makeup anymore. Oh. I still was doing makeup in the beginning. I think it was more so, I realized pretty quickly that, like, I love talking to my clients, getting to know them, but I don't love, like, the high stress environment that comes with, like, working with weddings and most of the things that you're doing makeup for. So it kind of quickly transitioned into that, and I think that color just kind of made sense to me. So yeah, it just kind of worked its way into that. I don't think it was necessarily ever like a conscious thing. It's okay. Just kind of how it worked out.
Yeah.
That's important to note though. Like I think a lot of people see the glamorization of like doing makeup and stuff, but like no one's getting their makeup done on like a Tuesday afternoon. Like
absolutely.
It's a big commitment.
Yeah. And you're not working as much with like your clients that you're used to having.
Right.
Those casual, comfortable conversations with. It's just
lots of new people.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
that's true. So you were with us for how long before you decided to, I got that knock on the door?
Four and a half years before.
So what was driving you? Because I feel like you went out there a couple times, right? And then I feel like at this point I know it's coming before it's coming. And you came in and you're like, can I talk to you? And I'm like, yeah, but you don't really have to. I already know where this is going.
Yeah. I think it was kind of more of like a why not than like a why.
Yeah.
I was young and I always wanted to do a big move like that. And it just kind of happened that way. It wasn't ever something that was like fully like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to make this decision. It just happened. I think that has happened a lot throughout the years of me just like, I was young and I had the money to do it and not a lot of responsibility. And that was really my whole reasoning for
what
going out
was
there.
Drawing you to California though?
Well, so Zach moved out there. Yes. He got the job at the ski resort and that was kind of it. I think a big thing too is, and this is like a personal thing for me, like I can't imagine living somewhere that I don't have the beach, the mountains, and cities in a close radius. Yeah. We have that here. I've always had that, and I would never live somewhere where I didn't have that.
Okay.
So this is the perfect example of, like, did you ever hear of the 7 human desires? And it's, like, certainty, significance. She's the perfect example of variety, and I never, like, thought I ever met somebody who had like the top desire of variety, and that's exactly like what she is.
Really?
Yeah.
Is this a book we need to know about?
It's Tony Robbins.
Is it? Hmm. All right, cool.
Yeah, but it's interesting to know, like, to actually like meet somebody, because I feel like so many people that I'm surrounded by are similar to me.
Yeah.
And you know, I know you, but I don't know you like super well. So mm-hmm. this is like very interesting.
I find it to be interesting too, that you're so young and you have these standards already. Like you already know what you want out of life. And those three things are huge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So while we're on that, Aubrey, how old are you?
25.
All right. Yeah. So you to are? Us, it feels so young, but to some audience members, it may feel older.
She was like 30, no? No. Yeah. Oh, wow. You're like she's an old soul. Like
old soul, for
put
sure.
Together so as young. A 25-year-old.
And has accomplished so much and yeah. has done so much. It's pretty incredible.
I mean, I just look at like some 25-year-olds that are just like so lost in the world. Yeah. And it just seems like you found your place and you have standards for your lifestyle, and I love that.
Yeah. You have vision, I think. That's something that I see in you, and I've always seen that in you, that you have vision and you're not afraid to kind of take risks and chances. Yeah. And I also think something that I admire about you is you, in your vision, you don't let other people's goals or aspirations affect what you have going on and what you want. So we're going to talk about that later on, but I'm excited. Yeah. So, okay. So you moved out there basically because Zach, your boyfriend at the time, who is your boyfriend now.
Yeah.
Just so we're clear. Yeah. He moved out first.
Yeah.
And then you followed suit. Okay. Yeah. So headed out to California. How long were you there?
A year.
Okay. Yeah. And then you decided to come back.
Yeah.
All right,
let's get into the nitty gritty here. I'm like so down for this conversation.
Yeah. Hold on. I want to know, what did you love about California? Like the lifestyle, like you just said, being close to a beach and in mountains and a city, like obviously you were getting all that out there.
So we lived in a small ski town, and I'm a fairly big snowboarder, kind of. So I snowboarded a ton.
You're definitely being shy. Because I can guarantee you're probably amazing on the slopes.
I love to snowboard, but I'm not the
note
best
to self
at
if we ever
means.
Do like a retreat on a snow mount, I'm never going with Aubrey up that on that thing. Shut me down. Black diamonds.
No. We got to snowboard a ton, which was awesome, and I met some of my favorite humans. I think that was like, I've always had a lot of random people from random friend groups, and out the town we lived in was really small. It was a town of like 4,000 people. So everyone knew each other their entire lives. It was a pretty close-knit friend group, and I just met really awesome people.
What town was it?
It was called Wrightwood. It was right on the LA San Bernardino County line.
Oh, cool. So you move out to California. I'm trying to talk.
How's the food?
I'm trying to
compared
think.
Compared to where we live.
The food's so much better here. It's not even comparable.
Wow. That's good. Yeah. Okay, that makes me feel good.
Yeah.
So going back to you going there, I feel mm-hmm. like talk us through like the initial, because I feel like you were interviewing.
Mm-hmm.
I was a part of this a lot, which was nice because I feel like at least I have some views,
So I interviewed with a pretty famous salon in LA. That didn't go great. I just like kind of, I basically walked into it. I feel like I'm a pretty decent interviewer and I'm pretty personable. And I just like, he didn't make eye contact with me. He sat like slouched over on the couch the entire time. He had
There was a couch?
Yeah. We were in like the front area of the salon.
Oh, wow.
He had assistants running up to him the entire time, which fine. But
not
it,
fine.
But yeah. Okay. It just didn't. I didn't really feel like he like respected my time, and I kind of felt like it was a waste of my time, which was fine. He's awesome, super talented, but that wasn't what I was working with an assistant before moving out there.
Okay.
And if I was going to assist, I wanted to like be treated like a human, obviously. Yeah.
In LA? That's weird.
I know. Crazy concept, but
is this Frederick Fracai?
I have no idea who that is.
I'm showing a rage.
I don't even know who that is. I just see that name on the shampoo bottles when I scroll down the aisles at CVS. Yeah. I'm like, he's got to be someone famous like Paul Mitchell. Like,
What was like the biggest? So wait, so you did you wind up working at a commission salon out there or no?
Yeah, I worked at a commission salon, booth rental, and
what
a suite.
Was first the commission salon?
Technically, booth rental.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what was like the biggest shock for you in that environment?
Having to provide everything and not really knowing what you were like going into. Like I was still building a clientele.
Okay.
So I felt like I had to have a lot of different stuff, but just not knowing what I was. So I had to have all the product and colors and all of that, but not knowing what I was doing.
Okay.
So wait, just so we're clear, you had to have all of your own?
Yeah.
Hair product, color.
Yeah.
And did you like bring that in and out of the salon every day?
No, I had a station.
Okay, so when you booth rent, you...
Yeah,
you
your like... station is your station. Okay. No one else is working there. Your stuff stays there.
Okay.
Okay.
What were the challenges? I mean, obviously, one challenge I can think of off the top of my head is just like having all of the stuff that you would need for like a random person you've never mm-hmm. met. But was there challenges with like getting new clients, keeping new clients?
The salon I was at was pretty decent at helping me get clients.
Oh, really? That's
which is surprising.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm shocked at that.
Is like, that normal?
I thought well, that's like your responsibility when you booth rent.
This goes back to like being misclassified. I was technically a booth rental. Like I was classified as a booth rental, but I was basically paying them a percentage at the end of the week to like help me get clients.
So you were like,
so did you have a W-2?
Dipped.
No, I was 1099.
So this was illegal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Which I think is a big problem in the mm-hmm. industry.
That's why when you said the booth rental thing earlier, I was like, California salons are going to crash and burn. Everything is 1099 out there.
That's wild.
It is so crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So what are the biggest... So you told us most of the salons out there are booth rental. Is that right? Are there any commission salons?
Yeah. So I worked at a commission salon while I was out there as well.
Okay.
Well, hold on. I have a question. How come when you took the job at this salon, what made you go to be a booth renter as opposed to a regular stylist in the salon? Do you have that option?
I didn't have that option.
It's like the norm.
Yeah, they don't. Most salons don't give you the option of being like a regular W-2 employee.
So do salons actually have W-2 employees besides like associates and stuff like that? Do they have stylists?
Even the associates, most of the time, a lot of times, are 1099.
So it's illegal as fuck out there.
I mean, it's illegal here. I don't know. Would it be legal out there though?
No, it's not legal.
No, some people still do it here too.
Oh, yeah.
1099.
No. I'm saying though, like out there, are their laws different? I mean, obviously their governor's way different than ours, but.
No, I'm pretty sure like it's illegal everywhere.
Yeah.
Should we explain to the listeners like the difference between like W-2 and 1099 and like why it's illegal?
Yes.
You can, but I gotta say, I'm kind of jealous of these owners. They just get to show up to work right now and don't have to supply color. They just collect their commission and their rent and
but what they're doing is illegal.
They're double dipping. Yeah. So like a 1099 person is somebody who like runs their own business and buys their own supplies, charges for what they charge, and they keep whatever profit. Like that's how it should be. When people hire W-2 employees, they get paid like commission structures. This is illegal because they're claiming that they're the people that work for them are 1099, but they're making them buy all of their stuff, run their business, and then on top of it, taking a commission, right?
And basically, 1099 is a subcontractor. Yeah. So they definitely don't work like...
So you can't take any of their income.
Or for you, they work like with you.
Right.
And their way of doing it in that situation was my booth rent was like the percentage of what I made for being like a commission.
Oh.
Yeah. So I sent them a percentage of what I made.
How do they see your sales? Is it everything through their POS system?
Yeah. Okay. They had it all through like the front.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So it's basically just having a salon with a bunch of stylists that are W-2, but then just charging them rent.
Yeah, and you're getting away with not paying taxes on the income.
It's like, if we went in and charged all of our girls, like, okay, you can work here, we'll, you know, but you supply your own color, we'll give you clients, we'll make sure the lights are on every day, but you're going to pay me rent and your commission.
Yeah, I could definitely see, wow, like, how that's, like, a loophole. Like, how would anybody even...
Why? But I don't understand. Here's my question. If this is so common out in California, and it seems like it's accepted, although we say it's illegal, why aren't they regulating this? I mean, it's like they regulate gambling, they regulate everything else, but they don't regulate that. Like the IRS has to be going crazy over that.
Tell me this, as a stylist that worked in one of these locations, did it make sense? or no? And is that essentially why you ended up leaving?
I think it makes sense out there because I think everyone out there, the goal is to be Booth Rental. Booth Rental's not really a thing here. Everyone right. out there wants to be Booth Rental. I think it kind of makes sense for people building like a business for themselves to kind of start off that way and then just transition to fully being Booth Rental.
Okay.
I think it probably makes that transition easier for them because at the end, at a certain point, then they're just paying the flat rate for their booth rent. So it doesn't change much about how they're running things. Hmm. So I think for stylists that are staying out there and doing that, it makes sense.
Okay.
All right, let me ask you this. We just compared a booth renter to a regular like W-2 stylist. Mm-hmm. Can you compare a booth renter to a salon suite owner? Like, what is the difference except the environment?
That's really the biggest difference.
Just the environment. So if you choose like you want to be in a busy salon, you go booth renting. If you want the private, more intimate, it would be a suite.
Either way, you're running your own business, supplying your own tools, all of that.
But the difference is with a salon versus suite setting is the salon's feeding you clients, correct or no?
When you're booth rental, no.
Okay.
Yeah, when you're booth rental, no. I mean, you get some of the advertising of the salon. The salon, a lot of the time, is still, you know, marketing themselves on Instagram or whatever. But so you're getting some of that marketing, but not, they're not really giving you clients.
Like, do they have a front desk? Like, is somebody calling and...
There was a front desk.
And they're calling and asking for, you know, like, if somebody called this salon and said, I need a haircut, would they say, oh,
so
well, we
that's
have...
the situation where they would feed them to, like, us that were, like, commission booth rental, basically.
Okay. Yeah, that's kind of the benefit, I guess.
Yeah.
Talk to us about, like, the culture with the people that were at the booth rental salon with you.
It was definitely... just less of like a team, okay. I would say.
Is there the competitiveness?
To a slight extent, I would say maybe. I wouldn't even necessarily say that it was like competitive. I would just say it was very individual. Like people didn't interact that much. People were definitely more just to themselves.
Okay.
And just they were kind just of more focused on themselves. Yeah. More so just there to work, not talking as much. It was definitely a little bit more clicky, I would say.
Okay.
Not like a team environment.
Okay. So then after that specific salon location, where did you go?
That is when I went to, when I was actually commissioned in California.
So you went to a commissioned salon?
Why did you leave? What did you hate so much?
It was just far and the whole taxes thing was starting to really freak me out.
Okay.
Yeah.
The whole illegal.
Yeah. It just like... was freaking me out.
Money laundering situation.
So I went to a commission salon.
Okay.
Yeah.
And was that closer to you?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Now talk us through that experience.
I will say, I think that I kind of like, I wasn't happy there. So I think that kind of just like overall tainted the experience for me, just in general. But
what do you mean by
you,
that?
Are like you it, protecting yeah. somebody at this point?
Yeah.
Hold on, I have a question.
Like a good culture fit. Like,
no, it wasn't a good culture fit
okay.
for clients or salon okay. for me. I was not happy with just in general.
So
where the location I was at was not the vibe for me. There was a lot about it.
Okay. Aubrey, did this salon have booth renters as well, or was it strictly commission?
Yes, they had booth rentals as well.
Oh, wow. Okay. So you were a commission employee at this salon.
Yes, but they were doing it legally.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, I can remember. I can remember you calling me and being like, hey, I need your advice.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure this person is, you were not being treated properly by this particular owner. Is this the salon that we're talking about? Okay. Like, what were the issues, I should say?
I think the biggest thing was kind of how I was, I think that they had this way of making everything seem really chill and really casual because they also had booth renters. So like I had at one point asked her if I could take off. There was a possible snowstorm coming up and she was like, yeah, you don't have to ask me, whatever. So we were getting a big snowstorm where I was living. I had moved my clients. And for whatever reason, on the software, it didn't show up on their end that I had moved the clients. So I guess she just thought that I wasn't coming in for the day and I was just not showing up to my clients, which wasn't the case. All of them were rescheduled, moved, whatever. And she had told me in the past to take care of that. So that's what I did. She had just kind of left that up to me. So I took care of it, thinking that that's what I was supposed to do based off of the past experiences. And she basically told me when I came into work after that, that I don't know how the F you do things in Pennsylvania, but that's not how we do things here. If you need to reschedule someone, you put them with another stylist. This isn't the Aubrey show, is kind of how I was treated. Yeah. Yeah.
You're like, wait, and, it's not the Aubrey
show. Yeah.
Well, so, I don't know how leaders in California do things, but that's not how leaders in Pennsylvania handle situations.
I feel like I am pretty... Like, we have a good relationship. Like, mm-hmm. I could come in to you and say, I feel like whatever I feel like I would have to say and not be talked to like that. And I think I'm usually pretty good at handling criticism, too. But this was also just, like, we didn't have a room for the break room. Like, this was off of the salon floor in an open room with other people in the room.
I'm, like, dying right now. Mm-hmm. Like, and I heard this story.
There too?
It was on the floor.
It was, well, so it was...
She was putting that on a was, show.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. And yeah. It wasn't the Aubrey expense. Show. Yeah. No. It was not the Aubrey show.
It was not the Aubrey show. And like maybe I didn't handle the situation, maybe how it was supposed to be handled. I don't know. All I know is we were getting snow and I thought that I was handling it the right way. But like it was also kind of just like a free for all.
Yeah.
So I didn't really know.
You can't like pick and choose when you want to implement like rules and.
No.
Yeah, well, you can't tell somebody do whatever you want and then hold them accountable after because you don't like what they did.
Right.
Mm. So that was one thing. Mm-hmm. What other things were problematic at the salon?
The clientele was just definitely not like what I was used to having. I was definitely used to being in more of like a high-end environment being at Privé, and this definitely didn't feel that way to me. It was just a different clientele, which is fine. There was nothing wrong with that. It was just different. And starting off, the type of clientele that I was getting were definitely wanting to be cheap, which again is fine. I think there's a time and place for that in specific salon environments, but I don't think I'm the stylist for that. No.
And while we're on that, I think it's important to recognize that. And we've talked about this a bit before, how not every salon's a good fit. And this is something that I think is valuable, that, you know, not every stylist wants to be at a high-end salon servicing high-end luxury people. They're difficult.
Absolutely.
They have high standards and they expect a lot. And I think that there are certain people that want that and certain people that don't. And then it's the opposite, you know, like there's stylists who are looking for just a more chill, relaxed environment with clients who, you know, maybe are making decisions based off of their budget and financials versus what their actual goals, you know, like, I don't really care what I get. I just want a haircut and I don't care about the blowout or whatever the experience is. And that's okay too. But as a stylist, and this goes to anybody who's out there in our audience, you know, you just have to know what it is that you're looking for and go find that in your salon home. And if the current salon home that you're in isn't serving you, it's time to look for somewhere that is.
Yeah.
Well, one thing that Aubrey, I give you a lot of credit for is you know your value. And I feel like that's important for stylists to know their own values and know, like, I deserve to charge these prices because I put education in, like, I'm constantly up on my game, I dress the part, I hold up my end of the bargain, where you deserve that, where there's some stylists that are just comfortable showing up to work in sweatpants and a sweatshirt, never doing another class, and just, you know, winging it, and that really doesn't entitle you to that high-end price point that you want to charge.
Yep. So, she was an asshole, let's just say that, like, and not that, I'm not trying to come at anybody, because I don't know this particular individual and I don't know what's driving her, but to me it feels a little bit entitled, and that I'm not cool with. So anyway, that experience that you had with her, was that the nail in the coffin?
So I think at this point I kind of knew I didn't want to stay in California.
Did you call me that day? Was that the day you called me?
I think I called you when I was starting to set up my next interview.
I remember. Wait. I was in the office when you guys talked. I think
this was like, I was going on a vacation very soon after this, and while I was on vacation I saw someone post about my next job, and I think I called you like either right before the interview, or I know I called you day of the interview, but I think I also called you before the interview.
I remember you saying like this, like just this should be your last shot. Like just try it out. If it doesn't work out, come back.
I can remember when you called me about that. I remember feeling definitely protective of you at that point. And when you expressed what you were going through, and I'm typically very good with my words, but I remember telling you that lady's a fucking asshole and get out.
Yeah.
Like that was like, it was like very straightforward. Like, I'm not happy to hear that this is the environment that you're in and it's time that you leave. And whatever that is that you do, you know, sure, come home. I'd love to have you. But, you know, you need to get out of that environment. I did not like that at all.
No, it was toxic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How big was that salon?
It's a great question. Probably like, maybe like 15. They just recently, one of the other girls opened up a salon. A few girls left.
So there was only like 15 stylists and maybe she struggled being a leader.
I mean, only, that's a lot.
Yeah,
it I mean, is. I know. Still, yeah, but like, you know, 15 people, like that's
you should be able to handle thought, 15 stylists in a decent way.
No, my thought is that how are 15 people staying under that umbrella is my initial thought, which tells me that the precedent and the expectations of people out there is, it's like kind of sad. Like, I hate that that's what they're dealing with. But anyway, so you went on to your interview. Tell us about that.
That was definitely something. I felt like I had to do like a little ego check there because I went on an interview to assist for someone else that was doing extensions, and ultimately that's where I ended up working in the suite. At that point, I kind of knew that I didn't want to stay in California. It was kind of like a last ditch effort of trying to kind of find something that would work for me, but also kind of realizing, okay, there's no point of me really trying to build a clientele because I don't want to be here for forever. Mm-hmm. So it was a way for me to do something, an effort to, you know, stay there, but also a way of being kind of like, okay, this is something that I can bring home with me if I don't stay, versus like trying to build a clientele. I'm not really making any money at this point, and I'm not doing anything that like if I go home is going to positively and affect me at all.
How old were you? At this point,
23.
You were so young.
I know.
But you were so old.
I know.
Like talking to you, like I can remember that conversation where you were like, listen, I think I need to give it one more shot. You know, Zach's here. I'm not ready to come home just yet, but I do want to pursue this experience with this individual. And what I know is no matter what, I'm going to learn.
Yeah.
Like that was your thought. Like you're like, I don't know if this is going to work out or not, but I know I'm going to be able to learn a lot. And that was like, that was so impressive.
All right, why
so
was please... she going to be able to learn? Because
So tell them what drew you to this particular
individual.
And please tell me that this salon was actually fabulous, because right now I have a bad taste in my mouth about this salons is this in is California, when I worked in and I don't want to.
Oh, so this is when I worked in the suite. And I worked for a girl who did a lot of extensions.
Oh, cool.
So basically I assisted with her and we just did webs and k-tips like all day.
Oh, that's awesome.
So what a lot of that looked like was we had like one day we came into the salon when it was, or the suite when it was closed, kind of went over everything, and then at that point we were doing extensions together. So she would be beating one side of the head, I would be beating the other. We'd be doing k-tips, I'd be doing the back of the head, she would be doing the front. So it was a lot more of like a hands-on experience. I had been certified. I got certified a few months before I moved to California through Bellamy, and I think that was great, but I also kind of had no idea what I was doing.
Yeah.
So it was really good for me in that aspect that I was able to come home and have that under my belt and just be comfortable with that.
Yeah.
How long were you with her?
That's a great question. A few months. It wasn't very long.
How was the dynamic? Did you guys work well together? Did you like her?
I liked her, yeah. I think we worked pretty well together. I think that it was hard for me assisting, honestly, in other aspects. Like, it was hard for me to assist with, like, foiling and stuff because I was working with an assistant before I took kind of that step back. So it was hard for me in that sense, but I think we worked well together. She was awesome. She's great. She just opened up, like, a full salon out there, and it seems like she's doing great with that.
That's awesome.
I don't think really had any problems as far as that goes.
Was that clientele like more your speed? Like,
yes, I think that I'm just very, I didn't realize how much of a Northeast person I was until I moved to California.
And it's so funny that you say that, because like I look everyone at you and I'm like, you're Cali. Everyone tells me the opposite.
Yeah. I'm not.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's just different. It's different. And there's nothing wrong with it. It was definitely better. More my speed, like more high end in that aspect. But
can you change your handle to East Coast Aubrey?
I'll die.
No, Northeast Aubrey.
Yeah. Northeast Aubrey. Yeah. But it was better. Like, I got along fine with her clients too. I'm just not a West Coast girly.
Yeah.
But you're also not, like, at this point in your life, an assistant. Like, you're a full-blown stylist. Exactly. Like, they should have been your clients, you know?
And I think that's what was hard for me at that point was, like, I did have the suite available to me on the days that she wasn't working to go in and have clients, but I didn't have clients, so.
You didn't want them either, right? Yeah. Like, I feel and like if the drive was there, you would have taken the opportunity.
Absolutely.
But. Were you homesick at all?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That was 90% of my reasoning for coming home. I think work would have worked out for me out there. I probably would have lasted maybe a few more years, but I never would have stayed out there forever.
Okay.
Yeah.
So talk to us. I know that we've just kind of been talking a little bit about the East Coast, West Coast dynamic. What are the main things that were different for East Coast versus West Coast?
The people are very different.
Like clients or just in general?
Just in general. People are just different, which then translates into clientele. Salon-wise, everything is a lot slower than what I'm used to.
So, like, laid back in California. Mm-hmm.
I think it's like laid back in Delaware versus where we... like it's like further...
even like Virginia.
Yeah, like the northeastern coast, like, and I guess New York City being the biggest one, it's like... it's so fast-paced and insane, and then it just trickles down the coast. So, like, you know, we're Philadelphia, we're slightly lower than New York, maybe a little slower. Then you get to Delaware, then Virginia, and then the Carolinas, and we were just in Atlanta, and I'm cracking up because I'm like, it is so different. Yeah, so, geographically, it really makes a difference.
It is, and it doesn't matter what industry you're in. Like, I mean, even just like me, when I went to California, I went out there and right off the bat, I realized, I was like, God, they do things so slow out here. Yeah. Like, I'm used to that fast paced rat race, like New York City, Philadelphia vibe. You get out there and you go to a restaurant, you order a drink and they'll come back 20 minutes later. Here's your drink.
Yeah.
And
even I'm like,
whoa, I ordered this like an hour ago. Where was it?
The convenience store, like, boop. Around here, hon. Yeah. Boop.
Yep.
Yeah, and I'm like,
you got kids?
Yeah, you're like, all right, come on, I gotta go. I have like this. It's true that like
the TSA situation in Atlanta when I got stopped.
Oh my God.
And she's like, I was blown away in TSA. I tried to sneak Kerastase products through and I got caught, but that's a whole different ballgame. But the problem was she was so nice. Like, the TSA agent was like, you got kids? Like, she was like talking to me and I was like, you want to talk to
like
me?
Like, you didn't have a flight to catch.
Yeah. I was like, in Philly, they're like giving me the dirtiest look because I forgot to take out like a 4 ounce, I don't know,
bottle of toothpaste. Milk.
Yeah. But anyway, so East Coast versus West Coast, the people are obviously different. What would you say is different about the people?
People on the East Coast and the Northeast in general, I think, tend to just be a little bit more blunt and can come off a little bit more aggressive, but tend to be, and not always, you know, this isn't always the case, but I think people tend to like care about their neighbors a little bit more. You have more of that like neighborhood feel. There's a lot of people that were born and raised here and care about their community. Mm-hmm. On the West Coast, people are a lot more like straightforward nice, but they don't like give a shit at all.
California.
Like, it's a lot more of like a selfish.
Well, California, I feel like it's a lot of like a melting pot too. Like, and their roots aren't in California.
And that's exactly what I think it is in the Northeast. You have so many families that have always been in this area. Yeah. It's just
generations
been here for so long.
Yep.
Whereas like out there, everything is new. The communities are new and there's so many transplants that there's just not a lot of culture to it.
Yeah.
And I think because of that, it's a lot more just surface level, a little bit more selfish.
Yeah.
And I imagine that's what affects the actual culture of the salons out there. Because
absolutely.
For us, I feel like our salon culture is so strong at this point that if you come in and you don't fit, it's very apparent. And there's nothing wrong with it. It's just that we're not the right fit for you, or you're not the right fit for us, whatever it is. Whereas out there, I imagine that it's just a lot of different personalities and a lot of different, so there's like no real strong culture.
Yeah.
I've had a conversation when I was out there too, and it was actually with a waiter. We were talking about like how, like it's, things are just so different over there compared to like the East Coast. Mm-hmm. And he turned around and said to me, he goes, I feel like everybody that comes here from the East Coast is so stressed out all the time. Yeah, he's like, I've never seen so many stressed people, but I could tell right away that you're from the East Coast because you seem stressed.
Yeah.
We're addicted to it.
Yeah. It's just what we need. Yeah.
It's the chaos. We thrive on it.
Mm-hmm. All right. So looking back on that experience and I guess your journey in general, like what lessons have you learned?
That's a great question. I think
don't ever leave us again.
I definitely realized just in life what's more important to me on like a regular basis. Like I don't need to be where I grew up right with my family, but I need to be in driving distance to my family. I need to be able to make a day trip and go see them. I want to be close to my nieces and now my nephew. Like I can't imagine them growing up and not knowing me or like being around for that. So that's huge for me. And just being able to like be a part and like enjoy having family around. I feel like family in general, like I was always around my family a lot and enjoyed spending time with them, but like it's more important to me now. Mm-hmm.
I love all this.
Yeah.
Especially because you're such an incredible stylist and I feel like your clients are so lucky to have to be able to sit in your chair and you work your magic on them. But I just feel like the fact that you are 25 years old and you found yourself and you're confident in who you are and what you want in life, like that's awesome.
Thank you.
Yep.
But yeah, I think those are like that's the biggest thing for me is just like that balance of knowing that is so important to me. Not our holidays are a busy season. So there was no like coming back for Christmas and stuff like that. And my nieces are 7 and newborns, like they're not at ages where they understood why I wasn't around. Yeah. So that's important to me. And work home balance, like I love what I do and I'm thankful for that, but like also at the end of the day, like it is a job. I need to be able to support myself. It's not sustainable to be in an environment being happy with what I do. Like I have to be happy with the environment and obviously I have to be happy with my paycheck.
Yeah.
Work home balance is very important to me and I like to enjoy my life. So I need the funds to be able to do that. And I was never really in a position before moving to California where that really wasn't the case for me. Like for the most part lived on my own and had that, but I always like made it work. I always traveled and did things I wanted to and that is very important to me.
Amen.
Love it. What advice would you give a stylist, like a younger stylist who's interested in maybe moving out of their hometown and going to explore other options in a different area? And also what advice would you give somebody who is in an area that could work in a commission-based salon, a booth running salon, or a suite?
When it comes to moving, if you're interested in moving, marketing yourself is huge. Social media, all of that is huge. Reaching out to people, like if you are, once you do make the move, I guess that would be like marketing yourself for that area, reaching out to people and being like, hey, I'm new in the area, I'd love to have you. Maybe kind of taking that ego check and being willing to assist if that is kind of something that you feel like is in the past. I do think it put me in a better position in the long run. And if I would have stayed out there, would have given me some stability to like have a paycheck and grow while I still had that. And also just, I assisted at Privé and I got clients from that. It was people that were comfortable sitting in my chair because they knew how I was trained and they trusted who I was trained by. So being willing to kind of take that step, think that it was great for me in the long run. Like it didn't work out for me, but I definitely learned a lot about myself and I wouldn't like change the fact that I did that. So if it's something that you feel like you want to do, do it. Absolutely. But it's really easy to romanticize as well. Mm-hmm. So that's a big thing. And then as far as like commission, booth rental, suite, I think that there is a time and a place for all of the above. I think that if you are a stylist that you really thrive in, you know, that kind of more individual one-on-one quieter kind of experience, I think that a suite could be awesome for you. Or you're just like a really seasoned, settled stylist and you're at a position where like it does kind of make sense for you to run your own business, but you thrive in the salon environment, I think that booth rental could be really good for those people too. But definitely you have to be settled. Like, it's not something that you can, I would recommend. I mean, you can just jump into it, but it's not something I would recommend just jumping into because you are taking more of a risk in that sense. But if you have the clientele that's solid and you're not really in a position where you're taking new clients or building your book, I think it could be great for those people. But commission gives you a steady paycheck. It gives you steady people in your chair. You're not, it's not just like all of your clients all the time. Like, I will get like random blowouts or like someone might go to color for someone else and hop in my chair for a haircut really quick. They need to get in last minute. You have more of those things where you're getting more of a stable paycheck. So I think it just kind of depends on you, your business, and like what your life looks like.
Beautifully said.
Yeah, you have provided so much wisdom and knowledge today.
I was just going to say, she's so young and wise.
Yeah.
It's so cool. Wise. And I love that you took the risk. Like, I love that you had that confidence in yourself to just follow your boyfriend out there, go give it a shot, try to make the best of it. And then the best part is you came home and you didn't have to leave a part of your heart because he followed you right home.
I will say, Mon told me beforehand. She was like, look, you can't always move to California, but like I'll always hire you back. Yeah. So I feel like that
You were a tough loss for us. Yeah. We didn't want to see you go, but we wanted to see you find yourself. Oh, so, thank you.
Yeah. But that definitely made me feel more comfortable going into it too. Like knowing like, you know, if I moved home, I could go back to my mom's house. I had that available to me, and not everyone has that.
Yeah. I'm also laughing because I can remember like the phone call or the text message that came in that like, I think I'm coming home. And I was like, let me know when you want me to open your schedule. It was like, yeah. I was like, great, we're stoked to have you back. Just let me know.
Yeah. And I landed on a Saturday morning and I started on Monday morning.
It was so good.
XOXO.
And I remember having conversations with Monica, like behind the scenes, like you weren't involved, but like she would be like, yeah, so I think Aubrey might be coming home. Yeah. And I'm like, really? And she's like, yeah, I mean, I'm not 100%, but like, I think she might be. And I'm like, is she going to come back to us? And she's like, I think she will. And like, it was just like so nice knowing that there was a chance you were coming back
and that's
to your salon home with us.
I know.
Yeah, it felt, I mean, for even for me as an owner and a leader, and I feel like I learned so much through your journeys. Mm-hmm. Like, and I say you're because there's several of you guys that have left and gone to other areas, and just keeping in touch and like being a part of those conversations has helped me realize some things and learn, which is, you know, amazing. But anyway, what's next for you? What are your goals? What's Aubrey doing?
Well, hopefully hitting a promotion at some point.
It's coming.
Yeah. I'm going to hit a promotion. That's my next.
Yes.
And then, other than that, I mean, I feel like I've just been kind of like focusing on extensions like the past year.
Can I tell you what I see in you?
What?
Oh my God. Like, you are going to be the extension queen
of
our area.
That's my goal.
Already is.
That's what we're working on. Other than that, I mean, honestly, I really like most of my clients. I would say just like building more of that clientele that I really love, but like, I'm pretty happy with like where my business is at. I'm happy with my clients. Like, I don't have, other than getting a promotion, like I don't really have any huge career things right now because I'm also just happy. So just,
do you have any interest in educating?
Yeah, but I
see
don't
that for you.
So do I.
I definitely do, but I don't really know for what, honestly. Okay. Like, I love doing extensions, I love color, so kind of narrowing that down, I have no idea what that looks like.
Well, while we have you here, I think it's important for you to just tell the audience a little bit about what you do behind the chair and how you are an extension specialist and what your methods are, because you and I chatted last week and you're like, listen, like what I do with my extensions is completely customized.
Yeah.
So if you could just say that, and then last, I just want to make sure you throw your handle out there.
So I do extensions, mostly wefts, K-tips, and then working in some V-lights now. I'm certified in a bunch of different methods, so I kind of try to just customize it to the client and whatever that looks like. Customizing color for extensions as well as color for my clients, I would say that's kind of where my business has kind of been pushing, is doing more so a lot of color and
extensions,
transformations, right?
Yeah, transformations, yeah, definitely big ones. Yeah. Is that's my favorite. It's like the big before and after, just the like shock factor.
Can I get in your book?
Yeah,
go for it. How busy are you?
I know.
I feel like I need a hair transformation right now.
Yeah, but those are my favorites, and I, yeah, like I said, do a few different methods, kind of moving in that direction, always trying to kind of figure out what's best and keep, I think extensions are really important to keep educating yourself in, because it's just, it's not one size fits all at all. It's so customized to the client and what works best for them and their lifestyle. And that's not just going to one class that teaches you how to install a weft and expecting that to work for all of your clients. So kind of always trying to figure that out and grow on that.
Thanks yeah, what was your Instagram me. Handle for the
it's
peeps?
It's Aubrey Rose, AubreyRose.
So right. It's not East Coast Aubrey?
No. I'm just
kidding. All right. Thank you so much for tuning in to Go Ham. We will catch you on the next episode. Hit like, hit subscribe, and drop the comments below.